You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Everybody, welcome in to a special holiday episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Apologies for not having a true post-game show for you after Friday's 115-109 loss to the Grizzlies. I'm out in Metro San Antonio, my wife's family for Christmas, so I did not get to see the game. Didn't want to do a show until I actually had a chance to watch it, which I did yesterday during the day while lying around the house and give you guys some of my reaction. Didn't want to spend too much time on it because I know we mostly want to look ahead to what the Rockets have going on this week. But as far as the loss to Memphis, it looks very similar to what the box score tells me, which is that, well, it was a great shooting game for the Grizzlies. 13 of 25 from three, 52%. Vince Carter, who's shooting just 31% this year from three, was 4 of 6 off the bench. James Ennis, who had yet to hit three threes in a game all year, was 3 of 5 from behind the arc. And if you're going up, especially on the road, against a good NBA team, and they hit 52% from three, it's going to be tough. Mike Conley came back, and he hit 3 of his 6 threes, had a game-high 24 points for the Grizzlies. It's just going to be very tough if you're the Rockets to beat a good team on the road if they shoot that well. So I don't know what to tell you other than partially I'd say it's bad luck. Grizzlies shouldn't shoot that well against air. But also, Rockets, some of the rotations were a little bit lazy, I thought. So you just have to get out there and guard, because the upside, if you look at it, Mark Gasol, just 16 points on 5 of 4 shooting, only 5 rebounds in his 34 minutes. Despite the size mismatch of Gasol against Montrezl Harrell, it's not like Mark Gasol ate the Rockets alive. The narrative of Clint Capella's absence being a key factor, I thought that was completely overblown, just as it was in San Antonio, a game that the Rockets won in terms of defense and rebounding, but lost because of the threes. Same thing here. Mark Gasol did not have a big game, shot just 5 of 14 from the field. Rockets didn't lose this game because of interior rim protection issues. They lost this game because of how well the Grizzlies shot from behind the arc, and some of it's bad luck, but some of it you need to get better, more crisp rotations. And Rockets have had a lot of games lately. I think mileage could be a factor. But beyond that, there's not much to say other than just play harder. Now, you look at the Rockets plus minus, it's a tale of basically the starters and the bench. Eric Gordon was a team worst minus 21. He was just 4 of 16 from 3. Nene was minus 19. Sam Decker was minus 17. And then you look at the starters. James Harden was plus 10. Trevor Ariza plus 16. Montrezl Harrell plus 12. So what it came down to, the battle of the benches, Vince Carter, James Ennis, they made their threes, and Eric Gordon, an uncharacteristic night for him, did not. And basically that's where the discrepancy was. And it's a shame because you wasted a great night from Ryan Anderson, 10 of 18, 8 of 14 from 3, season best 31 points for him, along with 7 rebounds. So it sucks that you wasted that. The good news, if you're the Rockets, is that pretty clearly they did not give up on this game. They were down 15 early in the fourth when the Grizzlies went on their latest barrage. It would have been very easy for the Rockets to mail it in and say, you know what, it's not our night. Let's just get back to Houston when the schedule eases up. They didn't, so I think you have to, you know, commend the Rockets for having heart. They definitely wanted to win that game. Unfortunately, the bench just got outplayed, and to me, that's where the difference was. I keep stressing that because I've seen a lot of people focusing on the fact that they've lost two games since the loss of Clint Capella to the broken fibula. And what I would remind you guys over and over again, we said throughout the month, after that West Coast road trip, after they got back from Denver, we knew that was an opportunity for the Rockets to reel off a lot of wins in a hurry because the schedule eased up. And it started to flip at the end of the month, starting the 20th. You had the Spurs, then you had at Memphis. They've got the Clippers later this week. So again, it's not like, well, they lost Clint Capella and now they're 1-2, so the two are related. No, the schedule was getting tougher anyway. And the two games you lost, like I said, the Spurs game, it's all about shooting, and Memphis game, maybe not quite the huge discrepancy there was versus San Antonio, but still obviously a very huge factor. So when I look at, you know, what ails the Rockets, I don't see Clint Capella at the top of the list for why they're 1-2 in these last three games. Rockets, of course, now 22-9 on the year, still tied for third in the Western Conference. What what I see is basically a team that lives by the three. Sometimes they're going to die by the three. They did against San Antonio. And I would also say that that trend held true in Memphis as well. Rockets shot 20 of 52 from behind the arc. That's a respectable 38%. So as a whole, you can't complain about the volume. However, from the bench, Eric Gordon, a very uncharacteristic 4 of 16. That discrepancy in bench production is why the Grizzlies were able to go on a couple of huge runs that kind of put the game out of reach and where they were able to get some separation the Rockets weren't able to fully come back from. And then the Grizzlies, of course, shooting 52%. It's kind of like the Spurs having one of their best shooting games on Tuesday. There's a little bit of bad luck there as well, but the story is the same. And I will say for the Rockets, a team that's that dependent on the three, even if you're really good at it, you are going to have a little bit more volatility. I think the schedule just kind of eased up for the Rockets, so we didn't see that volatility for a few weeks. But by and large, when the Rockets are playing better teams, and the Grizzlies certainly are that, they're 20-12, despite prolonged absences from Mike Conley and Chandler Parsons, both of whom played on Friday night. When you play good teams, you're going to be very volatile if your game is dependent on the three-point shot, and that's what happened against the Spurs and the Grizzlies. Now, looking ahead, the good news is that the schedule the next few days is going to ease up a bit. Today is Christmas. The Rockets are off. I've seen a lot of people saying, well, why aren't the Rockets playing on Christmas because they're so good, they're so entertaining. I know most of you know this, but the schedule's set in July and August, and these dates as far as who gets these marquee matchups on Christmas, it's based on who played well a season ago. The Rockets were a disappointment. They were 41-41 and 8 seeds, so they don't get to reap the rewards. And that stuff does even out because last year the Rockets, of course, were not a good team, but they did play on Christmas because they were coming off the Western Conference Finals berth. And incidentally, the Rockets on Christmas, that might have been their best performance of the entire year when they beat the Spurs at Toyota Center. Big game, showed a lot of heart on the defensive end, one of the few times you could say that about the Rockets last year. So it just sucks that the Rockets are not on Christmas this year, how well they're playing. I know we'd all like to see it, but silver lining is that assuming they continue to play the way they have through these first 31 games, I'd bet a lot of money that Christmas Day 2017, the Rockets are going to have a very favorable slot because a lot of people are going to want to watch this team. Now, looking at the week ahead, it's good because it gives the Rockets two off days. As I said earlier, there have been a lot of games this month, so giving them a chance to recoup, spend Christmas at home, that's nice because the Rockets, they play again tomorrow night. That's Monday night at Toyota Center, so that means the entire team, they did get to spend Christmas with their families in Houston. They did report to Toyota Center today for a quick practice during the middle of the day. But other than that, they've been resting up. It's time for everybody to get healthier. Next five games, Phoenix at Dallas. Now, the at Dallas game is the second night of a back-to-back, but I'd put an asterisk on it because going to Dallas, it's almost like having a back-to-back at home. The travel is so light, so it doesn't make it easy. Even home back-to-backs are never ideal, but it at least takes away the extensive travel side of the equation. So, yeah, you've got Phoenix at Dallas, then the Clippers and Knicks over the weekend. That's Friday and Saturday nights, including the New Year's Eve game against the Knicks, and Monday, January 2nd, against the Wizards. Now, the upside, there's five games in the next week, so yes, it's a high volume of games. Other than the Clippers, the Rockets are clearly better than all of those other four teams. So that's a good sign. If you take care of business, you're going to be at a minimum 4-1. Now, I don't think it's going to be that simple because Dallas, ever since getting Dirk back, they have perked up a little bit. The Knicks and Wizards have been playing relatively well, so I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not expecting the Rockets to go out there and, you know, post 20 to 30 point wins. Really, the only team in that mix that I would say the Rockets could potentially blow out is Phoenix on Monday night. They're just not very good, period. The others, Dallas, the Knicks, the Wizards, they could at least put up a fight. But if the Rockets play their game, there's a good shot that they're able to win. And even the Clippers are not going to have Blake Griffin. So them reporting to Houston with the Rockets having 2 days off before, I would imagine the Rockets are actually going to be favored in all five of these games. That would be my guess. And that's where I go back to the schedule. I know no one's happy losing two of the last three games, but you do have to look at the margins. And so despite Memphis shooting uncharacteristically well, 13 of 25 from behind the arc, and playing at home, and having their entire team, the Rockets were still there. They fought very hard right to the end, and it was there for the taking. Against the Spurs, the second-best team in basketball, if you go by record, Rockets shot 6 of 38 from 3, just incredibly unlucky from that standpoint. Rockets also saw the Spurs shoot 52% from behind the arc, and that game, they only lost by 2 points. So that shows you that if they play with that level of effort, that's what gives me a lot of hope going into this stretch, because no, the Rockets aren't just going to burn the Nets down in every single game. But if they continue to show the effort that they did against the Spurs and at times against Memphis, now again, I did think that their perimeter closeouts were not ideal and there may have been some fatigue issues there. But by and large, that was another good game from an effort standpoint. Marc Gasol against Montrezl Harrell, that has potential to be a very big mismatch, and yet the Rockets actually out-rebounded the Grizzlies 41-37. So if they continue to put the effort in on the defensive side, the rebounding, the energy, the hustle plays, then Phoenix, Dallas, the Clippers, Knicks, and Wizards, I think there's a good shot that the Rockets get four of those five. This past week, I know it hasn't been pleasant, but we knew this was a tougher stretch on the schedule. So far this month, yeah, the Rockets have had some marquee wins, but by and large, they've taken care of business against teams they should beat, and I would say they're going to be favored in all five of these games over the next 8 days. So if you want some optimism, that's where I think you turn, because the Spurs and Grizzlies, yes, it sucks to lose, but when you're looking at teams that are, what, the Grizzlies are 20-12, the Spurs are 24-6, those are losable games. It happens. It's nothing to be ashamed of, especially when you play them close in their house. And so you just have to hope that if you keep the same effort from night to night, and that's one thing we can say about the Rockets, is that no matter who they've played, the effort has been consistent. And I think you have to feel pretty good about the Rockets over this next week, continuing to gain ground and maybe even putting a little bit of separation between themselves and the Clippers. They're currently tied as I record this on Christmas Day. Maybe the Rockets can start to get a little bit of separation between the Clippers and themselves for that number three seed. Now, the Rockets will not have Clint Capella for at least three more weeks. Clippers operating in a similar timetable for Blake Griffin, but certainly Blake Griffin is more of a loss than Clint Capella. Montrezl Harrell through two games, even Nene, I think they've played relatively well. You've also seen some flashes with the small ball lineup with Ryan Anderson, so not taking Clint for granted. He does some things that the Rockets will definitely miss, especially in the pick and roll game on offense, his ability to be a finisher on the lobs. Montrezl Harrell not quite the same, but it's not like losing Blake Griffin. I think the Rockets are going to be just fine.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while Geico could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, Geico has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than Geico. Geico, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about on this show, and it's going to be a little bit of a quirky thing, but it's Christmas Day. We've had a couple of off days, so I figured it'd be good to do something outside the box. And I want to talk about the role of luck, because I think I've said that several times, that word luck. And I know a lot of people hate it because folks love to concentrate on what they can control. And a lot of people, even if something is unlucky, they don't want to look at it that way. They want to think of what's within their control. And I get that. I'm not trying to overuse it by any stretch. But I actually thought about this during the Texans game on Christmas Eve. And if you guys follow me on Twitter, at Ben Dubose, of course, you saw me say that the Bengals touchdown in the fourth quarter, what put them ahead and actually gave them a chance to win right up until Randy Bullock missed that kick at the end. Basically, there was a five-yard slant that Andy Dalton completed to Brandon LaFell, and the corner slipped a little bit, the safety Andre Howell took a bad angle, and all of a sudden, a five-yard slant becomes an 86-yard touchdown that puts the Bengals ahead in the fourth quarter. And I said, that is just phenomenally poor luck. And I think I even used the hashtag Houston Sports because, well, that's, I think, what a lot of us were feeling at the time. And I had several people, including probably some of our listeners, who commented back saying, that's not luck, that was just a bad play. Yes, you're right. And I want to make clear that when I say something is bad luck, just like that Spurs game when the Spurs shot 6-38 from three, it is the Rockets' fault that they didn't make more threes. If they shot 6-38, it's because a lot of those shots, they were either short, they were long, they were to the left or right, and James Harden, 1 of 11, Eric Gordon, 1 of 8, I'm sure they could tell you exactly what they did wrong, and they want to work to correct it. Free throws. James Harden shoots, what, 85%+, but he's had games this year, including the Detroit game, where he missed 5 free throws down the stretch in the fourth quarter, where it just comes at a bad time. And I'm sure James could tell you he was either short, he was long, there was something that was wrong in his mechanics. So from a individual player standpoint, there are very few things that are truly just 100% bad luck. Yes, everything is within your control, or most everything, I should say. But when I host this podcast, I am not James Harden. That's not my job. I am talking to you guys, kind of trying to be a voice of the fans, trying to contextualize things. And if the NBA, every game is 1 out of 82, then you've got a playoff season that's potentially 20 or more games if you're good. And where luck plays a role is in one given game here or there. For example, James Harden, he shoots 85 to 90% from the free throw line. That still means he's going to miss probably, on average, at least 1 out of every 10. But if he has 5 in the fourth quarter of one game, I'd say that's unlucky that it all happened in one game, at least as far as being a follower of the Rockets. Now, yes, it's James's fault. He should have either been longer or shorter, however the miss went. But as a follower of the team, it's unlucky that it all happened at once, because when we analyze this game, we are talking about predictive value. And so there's going to be bunches. It's one of those things like when you flip a coin and it comes up heads, it doesn't make the next one any more likely to be tails. Now, over the course of time, you would expect it to even out, but in any one game, you can have all sorts of randomness, and that's going to happen. The Rockets against the Spurs on Tuesday, 6 of 38. Again, it's their fault that they were short, long, to the left, to the right, whatever, on those threes. But for it to happen all in one game, for it to happen against the one team that's good enough to still overcome the Rockets in that situation, because if the Rockets had that same effort on defense and rebounding against almost any other team but the Spurs, even shooting 6 of 38, they would have still won that game in all likelihood. It was the perfect storm of not just shooting 6 of 38, but shooting 6 of 38 in a game against one of the few teams that is talented enough to legitimately beat you. And to go back to the Texans example, I know it's not a football podcast, but it's not just the fact that, well, a safety took a bad angle, cornerback kind of stumbled, and a slant went for a touchdown. It happened from their own 14-yard line. If it would have happened, say, at the 50, the 40, somewhere near midfield, it wouldn't have hurt as much, because the odds were that, well, Cincinnati may have scored on that drive anyway. That was a drive they were probably not going to score, and somehow they went all the way. It didn't just happen in the first quarter of the game. It happened in the fourth quarter of a game that they were trying to win, and fortunately did, to clinch a playoff spot. Now, to be fair, if something continues to happen, then no, it's not just bad luck. You just have to reevaluate your expectations, and maybe your expectations were too high if something keeps happening. But to go with the Texans example, before that play, Andy Dalton had thrown for 131 yards on 30 attempts. That's basically 4 yards per attempt. That is incredibly, ridiculously low. That's how good the defense was playing. So that shows you that's uncharacteristic. To go back to the basketball examples, obviously the Rockets shoot a very good clip from three, especially with volume. The free throw example of James Harden in Detroit, he shoots 85%+ from the line. So yes, if something keeps happening, then you can't just say, you know, it's luck game after game. It's bad luck, because clearly your expectations were too high and you have to readjust. But if one game is clearly out of line with what a reasonable expectation would be, then you can say it's unlucky, and there's nothing wrong with saying that. It's not letting anybody off the hook. The players themselves, they know what they did wrong. It's just me hosting this podcast, me talking on Twitter. I'm not James Harden. I'm not a player. I'm a writer. I'm a podcaster. I'm a fan. I'm someone that's just trying to contextualize each game, each moment in the broader narrative of 82 games for the Rockets, 16 games for the Texans, 162 for the Astros, and you're going to have some games, some quarters, some moments that are uncharacteristic. And if the stars align and it happens in a really bad spot, and I would say that 6 of 38 on Tuesday did, because, you know, if the Rockets had the energy they had on the defense and rebounding, even if they shot 6 of 38, I think they would have won that night against most teams. Unfortunately, the Spurs are just one of the few ones that they couldn't get away with that kind of effort against. And I would say that's bad luck. And that's not letting the Rockets off the hook. That's just me talking to you as, you know, a fan of a team and trying to, you know, basically look at the predictive value and say, what can we, you know, how does this fit in? What does this tell us looking forward? And if the trend is uncharacteristic, then we can say that they got a little bit unlucky, and that's not letting them off the hook. That's just the way sports goes. And other teams can say the same thing. I'm sure the Warriors would say that the efficiency the Rockets had that night that they beat them in Oakland, what Brian Anderson did that night, was uncharacteristic. That doesn't happen that much. It's just, I'm not worried about them. I'm talking about the Rockets between us. We're talking about what their trends are over 82 games. And if something goes poorly, then it may be a little bit unlucky. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. It's not saying the Rockets aren't going to be held accountable, because I guarantee you Mike D'Antoni and Jeff Bezdelic, the coaches, they're going to hold them accountable for their mistakes. That's just my way of looking at it. And so I wanted to give you guys the background on that, because I thought about that a lot in the fourth quarter of that Texans game. I know a lot of people love to pile on the Texans anyway, so that's not the best example. But I had so many people saying that, well, that's not bad luck. That's just bad execution. That's a bad play. Well, 99% of the time, I would say the things we talk about being bad luck, 6 of 38, they are bad execution. It's just at the specific time, game, situation at which it comes, it can be a little bad luck. And there's nothing wrong with pointing that out. Anyway, on that note, I will wrap up this special holiday episode of Locked On Rockets and get back to celebrating with my family. Hopefully you guys can as well. Again, it's Christmas Day. Rockets are off. They're back in action tomorrow night. That's Monday the 26th at home against Phoenix. Then to Dallas for the game on Tuesday night. So you're going to have a lot of Rockets basketball in the near future. So get all your family stuff out of the way, because next couple of days we're going to have a ton of actual basketball to discuss. And if you've got some more time to listen, don't forget that while we're here at Locked On Rockets, we're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. That also includes podcasts for every individual NBA and NFL team. That includes the Houston Texans, who obviously had a huge win on Christmas Eve night, against the Cincinnati Bengals. So my buddy Robert Land, he's got a great post-game show that went up today over at Locked On Texans. So wherever you subscribe to us, iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play, etc., just search for Locked On Texans, and you can find Robert's show as well, with some pretty good insight on just how the Texans pulled off that big win and how they're going back to the playoffs now for a fourth time in 6 years. So on that positive note, I will wrap up. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. This is Locked On Rockets. Thanks to all of you guys for listening. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and I'll be talking with you again the next 2 days as the Rockets take on the Phoenix Suns and Dallas Mavericks. Enjoy your holiday.